today on Code Pen Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's time for another Code Pen Radio 263, and we're going to be talking about a new feature of Code Pen, and it won't be a feature that you can find on the homepage just yet, because we're kind of, you know, it's our first foray into this kind of brave new world, and it's big and cool, and so for now, you're going to have to find it at probably like a special URL that we're going to send you to, but it won't be that way forever. And what that thing is a kind of a new editor experience. You know, it's still a pen, but it's a pen that's configured to do something special. In this case, that something special is Vue. And there's plenty to talk about there. Vue being the, you know, the popular JavaScript framework. It's one of the top 10 repos on all of GitHub, I believe, somewhere in the middle of the top 10, far more than even React. So That's pretty cool. And in this show, of course, we have Marie. Hey, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
And Steven.
Hey, I love you.
Yes, you do.
Oh, that's nice. I love you, too. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool language. You know, it's a little newer than React, although I could be wrong about that. I think they might be probably somewhat similar.
Roughly the same time, but a little bit after.
Yeah, and they're not a million billion miles away different. They are meant to help with working with kind of component-based libraries, you know, building websites in kind of modern, more intelligent ways, an evolution or a step beyond what we had with jQuery. And they're not like one-to-one comparable, but they are, you know, there's enough similarity there that it's important that if you built an app that was trying to do lots of stuff, lots and lots of stuff with jQuery, it's likely that you could, you know, do those same types of things with Vue and kind of re-architect your site in that way and probably end up with something a lot more cleaner and maintainable. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure you can find a million billion Vue versus React articles out there if you want to learn more about the specifics, because people will compare those to Kingdom Come. But yeah, bottom line is it's just a easier way to kind of break up parts of your site into little Lego blocks and combine them together.
Yeah.
Makes
sure
development a lot easier.
You can even find an article on the web that doesn't like the Lego block analogy. Oh.
Yes. And somebody, I'm sure, is writing an article right now correcting me about Lego bricks, Lego blocks. Yeah. The internet is an interesting place.
I think you're overestimating how many people listen to this show.
Nope.
Listen, both of you, sit down. So Vue's cool, but are people out there like, what? You're going to support Vue in the CodePen editor? I'm pretty sure I already write Vue in the CodePen editor. Pens and projects support Vue just fine. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And that's true, just like it supports jQuery just fine, or any number of other JavaScript libraries that are designed to run in the browser. Vue runs just fine in the browser. So does React, for that matter. Vue probably, I don't know, arguably slightly better, because it's, I know for a fact that Vue kind of considers its in-browser usage as a first-class citizen. And I know that because at my other podcast, Shop Talk Show, episode 350, we talked with Evan Yu, its creator, and he talked about how fundamental he thinks that is. So if you want to kind of baby step into Vue, you don't need to change your whole build process or change really deep fundamental things about your app. You can just load up Vue as a script tag in your HTML document and use, I think, pretty much all the features of Vue in that way.
That's one of the main reasons, like early on when I was working at an agency, that's why I went with Vue over React, is it felt a lot more like natural to just like ease into it from just a standard web development kind of setup. With mm-hmm. developing like in browser and you know, testing and all that, you didn't have to do like all this pre-compiling or like worry about like React DOM and like, you know, the way everything is integrated with Vue. It was just a lot easier to step into a component-based kind of model. And you could even have like your templates in the HTML or like use Vue to like enhance some built-in HTML. So it was a really easy way to kind of get going right with that model. and then step into the advanced. There's like a
template tag in HTML, and you could put your templates in there, or it could be just some HTML sitting on the page anyway, and you reference that. That's pretty cool. It's cool that they consider that a first-class citizen. React can do this too, but just think about JSX and React, and JSX is pretty fundamental to React. I would say the vast, vast, vast majority of people writing React are doing it with JSX. Mm-hmm. JSX absolutely needs to be compiled first. Now, I think there might actually be some kind of weird in-browser version of it, but that's rare to use and probably a dependency that is a lot to ask of a user to download just for that. So, React tends to live in a world in which that you process it first. And there's advantages to that. There's no problem with that. I mean, that gives you an opportunity to really reduce the bundle size with tree shaking and code splitting and all kinds of interesting stuff. So no shame on that. In fact, we do that at CodePen. That's how we build our app. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Vue is a first-class citizen of just using in an HTML file is a big deal. And so you have long been able to do that. And there's tons of examples. And we even have an official topic on CodePen for Vue stuff in the normal pen editor. But you were waiting for this, right? There needs to be a timestamp here. But about half of Vue usage, I don't have anything scientific, but I get that impression. And I think somebody told me that. It may have even been Evan Yu in that episode. Is like half-ish usage of Vue is still in that Webpack land. It does still run through a compiler and a bundler and stuff. People use it like they use React in that similar way. And in the how React has JSX, Vue has an interesting thing. It's not JSX, but it's a very interesting concept called a Vue file. .vue is the file extension for it all. I'm sure you could configure it to be whatever you want, but that's the standard. And they're called in Vueland single file components, SFCs. And I think this is, perhaps a big thing that draws and people look at this and really are like, ooh, nice. They're single files that have three things in them, a template, a script tag, and a styled block. They're just three HTML tags. And the template is like, please put your template here. We know that's fundamental to, the HTML that renders this thing. But separate the JavaScript stuff down into its own block, the functions and stuff that are relevant to this component. And then to style the template, there's a whole special section just for that, which can handle style scoping and all that. Now, there's lots to talk about with a Vue file component, but that doesn't work just naturally in the browser. I mean, it kind of does because it's just a script tag and a style tag, and those things are browser-friendly things. But these are intended to be ran through a Vue compiler and made, I don't know what you call the output from it, another script, I guess. But that, Vue files, .vue, SFCs, they don't work in CodePen, at least not in the editor we have today.
Yes. And so that's a big part of what we were trying to solve with this custom editor is letting you, look through Vue docs or look through like a Vue component library and be able to like copy those single file components and drop them in to this editor. And for the most part, that'll work now. It supports that Vue template syntax. So you've got, the three pieces, and it'll compile them down, and Vue will, run them in the browser.
Yep. So this exists, and you're not going to find it by just going, create new pen on CodePen and then switching some setting or something. For the moment, the only way you can get there is a special URL, and we're just going to share it with you now. This will force our hand into actually getting it done the way we want it to be done. /pen/Vue will get you there, and we'll make sure that that's working. It was a weird query parameter before, but don't worry about that. Just, legacy. /pen/Vue will get you there, and it's going to load up, and it's going to look, 97% exactly like a pen does anyway. You'll notice the biggest change, perhaps, is the default that it's going to load left and right. And it's just because Vue files are tend to be taller. There's like more code in them. So maybe that tall Vue. Yeah, of course, you can change it to whatever you want, but it's just going to default that way. You'll notice in the upper left, you'll see a Vue logo up there just to kind of remind you that this is a special place that's special for Vue. And you're only going to see one editor, not three, which is the default of the, I don't know. We'll see what we end up calling. We're sort of calling it the classic editor, but the thing that every single pen is on CodePen, just a regular pen. So just one editor, and it literally will say view because it's a .view file, and that's all you have to work with in this editor. Now, you can do things that you're familiar with, like load up other scripts or load up other external resources, including like if you wanted to load Bootstrap or something, you can do that. That's cool. We'll still load up those resources for you, but you'll notice you don't have an HTML tab, you don't have a CSS tab, you don't have a regular JavaScript tab to work with, because the intention is that you're doing all those things within this single file component anyway, so it doesn't kind of lack any of the power. And so all you have to do is just work with this template, and it will, as you change things like you're used to on CodePen, it will compile your view, and in the preview itself kind of mounts up your SFC into a document. So you just get one single file component too. Now, I know lots of people out there would prefer that you have lots of single file components. Sure, we get that. We know that there's you know, lots of things that you might want to do in here that you can't yet. But it's pretty cool for what it does now. It's just basically a left and right kind of work with your SFC and see the output of it.
Yeah, and this should make working with Vue just so much more approachable. Being able to, you know, use that syntax, not have to worry about like including Vue as a dependency or anything like that. It's all just set up and ready to go. So you can start messing around with the syntax you see in the docs and kind of experimenting with all that.
Speaking of the docs, that's where this came from. So Vue is the stable version of Vue as I speak is 2 point something. And, you know, there was just a Vue comp. I think they talked about Vue 3 a lot, but Vue 3 isn't stable yet. I mean, you can download betas and play with it and stuff. But Vue 3, as I speak, is not like officially released yet. But when it is, of course, their docs are going to have to change a bunch too. So we heard from the Vue team, shout out Sarah Drasner, who was asking about this. They're working on their docs, you know, a revamp of the docs, you know, I'm sure partially or entirely based on the fact that Vue 3 is coming. And they were very interested in a CodePen feature we have called prefill embeds, which is a big feature Steven worked on. The idea of those is that you don't have to like come over to CodePen, create a pen, save it so that it has like an identifier or a slug, and then use that as the embed. Now, most people do it that way. And I would never discourage you from doing it that way. That's how I do it. I like that. So I have this pen that I can update. But notably, somebody owns that pen. Often it's me or a team. And that's weird sometimes for large, ever-changing organizations. They're like, oh, who owns that pen that's in our docs? Oh, it was Sue. She left. You know, like that kind of problem isn't ideal. So this idea with prefill embeds is it doesn't have to be saved on CodePen. It can be code that you keep in your database or your markdown files or whatever is building your site, and it magically transforms into an embed. It doesn't have to be created on CodePen already. We'll take this chunk of code and transform it into an embed. It's great for documentation. That means you could take a pull request on GitHub for a change to a pen, to an embedded pen. That's kind of the point here.
Yeah, it's got all the features of the embeds too. You could have the live updating code so people can like actually play with the embed right on your site.
Yep.
And they can also fork it into their own CodePen account. So if they wanted to keep a copy of what they found in your documentation or on your site, they could actually save a copy themselves too. So it's got all the stuff that you would get with a regular embed, but you just maintain it in your own code base.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's got themes. And you can say, don't load it up until somebody clicks on it. If you're worried about performance, that improves things a little bit. Stuff like that.
Yeah. You've got enough on your plate as a docs writer. Let us take that code for you and compile it and preview it and all that. You just worry about what you're writing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, this episode of CodePen Radio is brought to you in part by Jetpack. It does all kinds of things for your self-hosted WordPress site. Huge fan. Have it on all my sites, of course. You've heard me say that before. A whole suite of features. You know, if that's what you don't like about Jetpack, I get it. That's cool. Whatever. You don't want to, like, pay money for you know, 32 features when you need two of them or whatever. And most apps don't have like a la carte things that you can buy like that. In general, I think that's like weird feature creep for a lot of apps that are like, eh. I mean, if you didn't really like think that way from the beginning about how you're going to price your product, it's probably not like a super good use of your time, even though you're going to get emails that are like, you know, like, I don't need professor mode. Can I have a plan that's all the pro features except for that one? You're like, no, come on. That's, you know, anyway. So, but I get that feeling with Jetpack is so many features, and they have some of them that are so strong that it's clearly like it would make sense to me that you'd only need that. And one of them is backup. So if you want like third party, like really trusted, this is WordPress themselves backing up your WordPress site for you, Jetpack is an integrated backup solution. One of the really unique cool things I think that it does is it backs up in real time. So it's not just like my backup from yesterday. It's my backup like, no, somebody left a comment, so it got added to the backup. So I have it like right now, which I think is great. Of course, I use that because I'm just obsessed with backups in that kind of way. But now you can buy this backup thing like a la carte. So if you don't want to pay for Jetpack, you just want to pay for just this one feature only, you can do that now. And it's, you know, like, is this VaultPress? You know, that's like the old name for it, kind of. That's the old system I was on. This is like, it's not that. It's not some like other thing that you install or whatever. It's all built right into Jetpack, which connects to your WordPress.com dashboard. That's where you do a lot of the management stuff. One thing Jetpack does that's cool is like has an activity log of stuff that happened that you can't see this in any other way. But you're like, hey, Sue logged in. Sue wrote this blog post. Jim approved this comment. You know, it's like stuff like that. So you can kind of see what's happening with your team, who's doing what. Your backups live in there too, so you can be like, oh, and then a backup happened and it backed up this amount of stuff at this time. And that's kind of the interface you use to look at what's happening with your backups and do the restoration and stuff like that. Anyway, it's nice. I like it. Good job, Jetpack. A la carte backups. Now, where you get that code, you can handcraft it if you like, or build your own little abstraction for it if you like. Maybe it becomes a Vue component. How meta would that be?
It would be.
But an interesting aspect is you could just come to CodePen, make the pen quick, and then open the embed tab, and in there, we'll give you some copy and paste code that makes what you're looking at into a pre-fill embed. So you don't have to like, you know, digest our full syntax for how this all works and handcraft everything. You can just like kind of make the pen quick and then save it. And you could just, you know, whatever, save it to your account, but it doesn't matter that you did that. It's just a temporary thing. Copy that code out, and you could even delete the pen if you wanted to, you know, whatever. And then use that prefilling code. That's the feature that the Vue team wanted here. But they were like, well, but, you know, there's that caveat. There's that workaround on CodePen that we have to do it the kind of client side way, the like load up the Vue script and then put the template in the HTML and all that. And some people work that way and it's cool. But I think, you know, they have evidence that, you know, enough Vue users are kind of, they kind of think in that single file component way that they're wishing that they could embed single file components into their docs. The timing just happened to align with us. And we're like, we very much wish that we could do stuff like that too. You know?
Yeah, it was good timing in it. And it's an exciting thing to be part of. You know, I mean, Vue has a really exciting community. People are making super cool things with it. So it's nice to be able to really, like, truly support it in a way that we haven't been able to before. Mm-hmm.
They've known. I mean, I think they've asked for this before and we're like, yeah, we should do that. And then no matter how much excitement we have about it, it's such a deep change. I mean, imagine building a product for like 7 years and then needing to make a change like this that is kind of like deep and fundamental to what the thing is. For example, one editor instead of three. So mm-hmm. when we're working on this stuff, the reason it was good timing is, why don't we make it so that the editor isn't three editors, it's arbitrary editors? And why do we have it so it's hard-coded to assume that it's those three technologies? Why don't we rewrite the editor so it doesn't assume any of that stuff? The technologies that are in place there are arbitrary. And why are these settings hard-coded into this view of this app? Why aren't they arbitrary? Why aren't they based on some configuration that says, I need this setting, and this setting? That's what's important to this editor. So some of our work here wasn't like, let's make a view editor, which it was to some degree, but it's like, let's make arbitrary editors. So let's have this editor kind of build itself from configuration. And that configuration could then, you could just, you know, right click in your editor, say duplicate and make editor two, change some configuration. Now you have another editor that looks and behaves a totally different way than editor one.
That's right.
So instead of just making one editor, our goal is to make, and this is not something that we're rolling out right now, this is a journey, is to make arbitrary editors, you know? And so we are proving this out with Vue and with a couple of other ones as well.
Right. Yeah. These are first steps in that direction. And it's good to, I think it's a nice way to do it, like a toe in rather than trying to rebuild everything. Like you said, like completely tear it down and rebuild it. We're taking a step toward it and we're learning as we go. So this is an interesting thing to work on.
This is part of the learning process. Talking about it, launching them, picking URLs for them. How are they saved to database? How do we expose the best content made from them? You know, how do we build processors that are for it? That's an interesting one too. For one thing, it's making the editor look and do the things that it wants it to. But part of this journey has happened a year ago and 2 years ago. Been so long working towards this. For example, we had a podcast about NodePen, our mono repo of processors. That was a step toward this, believe it or not, because what NodePen is a lot of our individual processes that run on AWS Lambda, or they're just cloud functions that do things. An example of a cloud function is like less or something. When you write in less in CodePen, which is a CSS preprocessor, it takes that code, it sends it off to a magical service in the cloud, a cloud function, and it comes back processed. All of our preprocessors work in that way. Take this little code, send it off to the sky, and it comes back processed. Vue is no different. It's just another one of those that needs a bunch of special configuration to do the special things that Vue does. It's got to run through Webpack. It's got to use this configuration. It needs to download these node modules that do the right thing. So they're all bespoke and different, but because of NodePen, they all live next to each other. They're all like folders next to each other. They're not individual repos that somebody's got to pull separately and make sure it has all the right dependencies and stuff. A mono repo for this stuff feels really good. So that was a good step for us. So to make a Vue one, we kind of duplicate one that's already in place and change up the stuff that's appropriate for Vue, and then deploy it as our special new Vue preprocessor in the sky. Just that stuff, you know, it took some time and effort just to get that right, you know?
Yeah. And one of the features of the Vue editor now is you can select between Vue 2 and Vue 3. And so in our cloud functions, we actually have two separate kind of routes for Vue 2 versus Vue 3, because the way that those are handled from like the Webpack side of things is totally different. So we had to, you know, create two different little cloud functions in NodePen. And so setting up all that routing and doing the configuration of the editor to even enable that setting, like there was so much inflexibility that was a part of the code base that now is we're starting to flex and get that stretch in there to allow us to do more things like this.
And knowing that and using what we learned already. So we know that it's not going to be tomorrow, but probably someday there's going to be Vue 4, and that this thing is totally ready for that, you know, so we can change things in that way a lot better. And that type of thing has concerns all over, from UI to processing to database to everything. And we haven't solved it all yet still. You know, there's still, as you build these things, you got to be like, okay, that part was easy. We refactored that area, but this area isn't quite refactored yet. Or we refactored that area, but we found a little edge case based on this one language that's a little weird. So that edge case is just kind of baked into there, and maybe we'll pull it out into config, or maybe we won't. You know, we're still kind of learning those lessons, which is actually kind of fun, you know, figuring out where the pain points
are. Yeah. It's an interesting challenge. And this type of flexibility, it's interesting to think about how like increased flexibility can also increase complexity. Like it's going to be more difficult to explain certain things if we don't do it right. Like we just have to, like you said, like UI considerations and things like that, usability are key to this too. So there's been a lot of thought and design work put toward that as well. So it's not just the technical end of things. It's like, how do we make this work for people? How do we make this something that people enjoy using in the way that they've enjoyed using CodePen in the past?
Absolutely. Complexity is a big part of this because we know that we're building something that kind of on the surface looks like it's more complicated than what it was there before. Now you have this new feature. It supports new technologies. It has different settings. You know, that's a, you can look at that and be like, that's a ballooning of complexity. That's going up. But we're, you know, borderline scared of that. You know what I mean? Like we don't view complexity, don't take complexity lightly at CodePen. CodePen is too complex already. So what's interesting about this is as we're doing it, we're taking steps to kind of reduce complexity as we're doing it. And we're kind of hoping that the kind of the final product here is perhaps less complex than it was originally, which is weird to say, but if you get config right, if you get data storage things right, if you build UI correctly, it can actually just be simpler.
Yeah. At least having everything in the appropriate place. Like right now, all the jQuery logic and everything that's so separate from like the back end side of things. But as we move more towards like React and GraphQL and NodePen and all of that, it makes everything at least more understandable based on what area you're in, like what all of this logic is handling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's for us. It's for you too, because if we get it right, we're able to move faster and build more compelling things and that type of stuff. But, you know, mostly this work is just on us. And it wasn't necessarily like the mistakes of the past, although you could think of it that way too. But, you know, you don't know what your mistakes are until you make them in a way. You know, even now we're trying not to optimize too much or like make too many guesses about what should be in config. You know, in the early days of this or so far, we're kind of like, oh, here's a moment where this should be in config. So I'm going to put it in config. And when I say config, I mean, each particular one of these editors, like Vue itself, there's basically a piece of JSON that says, this is what this editor is. And there's little moments where you're like, well, how many editors does it have? Well, let's make an array of the different editors that it has. This one has one. So when the editor builds itself, it looks at that array and loops over it and makes one editor. But you could make an editor that had five editors in that array, and they're all configured differently. And when the UI builds itself, it loops over those five things and makes five editors. So that's a moment where you're like, yes, that makes great sense to be in config. But it's only because we like sensed that pain point and then moved it over there. And I'm sure that the way that we configure things and how we do it is going to evolve the more editors we get. So they all have their own quirks, you know?
Yeah, that's what makes them different from each other, I guess. Just the differences in the configuration. Yeah.
You know what one has the most quirks? The classic editor, because it supports all these different technologies.
That's true.
Some of these future editors will be easier because they're so focused on what they're doing.
Yeah, because we have, for the classic editor, and by that we mean the pen editor as you'd see it today, which is HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, we have a very strict template, realistically, when you think about it, where we have determined where all of the components load in into the preview panel. And that's completely held by us. Like the head content, you know, meta tags, all that type of stuff. You can add some stuff, but like, for example, where the JavaScript from the JS panel comes into the pen, you can't modify that. That is just where it is in the template. So when we have these other more configurable setups, that, you know, it is a lot different from what we currently have now. So what we have now, you're right, is actually probably the most complex out of all of them, even though you'd almost think of it as a simpler editor just because that's what's been around for so long.
Yeah, right. So then, yeah, the more editors we have, like how it's almost like, just leave that one alone. That's the weird one.
Yeah. Well, and that's a discussion we've had, like since we introduced the idea of having the Vue editor, we're like, what do we call the original one. Like naming has become a question too, because we're thinking about like, how do we handle what we would think of as CodePen Classic or whatever in this future where we have a bunch of different options and a bunch of different setups. What does that one become? How do we refer to it? So yeah, there's all these interesting questions that come up when you're doing something like this.
I'm sure, you know, deep CodePen users or fans or whatever out there will know that we have a project editor too. And believe us, we have not forgotten about that either. And that's just not the time to talk about it in this podcast, but but all this is related to each other as we evolve and grow and build. So that's that. So hopefully you can imagine why we built the view editor. It's code that needs to be processed in a different way. It's not something that you can just do in the browser anyway. We're probably not going to build custom editors for things that just should be like a template in the normal editor, or the classic editor. You know, if you're like, I want to have a special, I don't know, a pen for D3 or whatever. Well, D3 is meant to be used in the browser. So like, we don't need a special editor for D3, you know?
That's when templates kick in for sure. Right. Yeah.
But that's not to say that there isn't some weird D3 specific sandbox that could be created someday, but it's probably not high on our list because you can just do everything that D3 can do there anyway. But okay, and now what about SAS? We don't need a special sandbox for SAS. That's in the classic editor too. Or do we? You know, like wouldn't, you know, think of an app out there like SASmeister. SASmeister is an app where the whole point of it isn't to view the output on a web page. You're just looking at SAS and then you're looking at how SAS chose to compile it. And that's really similar to like Babel has an editor like that too, where it's just kind of this left-right setup where you write some code, you configure some settings, because that's the point, is like, what if I turn on this plugin or what if I use this version instead and see how the output differs? So maybe, and I'm not promising this, believe me, but maybe someday in the perfect world we have all these, there's a SAS sandbox that's like that you can write SAS and you can see the output on the other side. And then what's cool about that is you save it, you share it, it's got commenting, you can add it to a collection, you can heart it, you can, you know, there's this all the social stuff that happens around it. You get everything that code, you can export it, things that CodePen can do automatically. You know, it's still just a pen. Do anything that a pen can do. So that's what kind of makes it extra compelling for us, is that as we make these editors, well, they're still just pens. You still have all this cool stuff you can do with it.
Yeah, that's the really nice thing about it. It's still part of the CodePen world. It's just a regular pen. They can get picked. They can be commented on, all that type of stuff. So yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
So what, you know, I mentioned all that to say, so now hopefully you get it, right? Like this view one exists because it needs to be processed in a special way. I think early on, our editors will be focused on that. You know, again, no promises here, but that's kind of the core, is that, oh, this is code that needs special processing. It can't just happen in the browser. Those will be kind of the most compelling editors to make, just so that we're unlocking things that you couldn't have otherwise done on CodePen, but now you can. That's pretty cool. So I'll leave that to you listeners. Can you think of other code that's, you know, the CodePen is still for web people, so probably mostly that, you know, is there like web stuff that you use that needs to be processed in a special way that you do locally that you wish you could do on CodePen because it'd be cool for playing with or teaching workshops or, you know, for any reason at all? Let us know.
You can let us know on Twitter. We're at CodePen, or you can write in to support@codepen.io. Mm-hmm.
You can do that right after you upgrade to Pro.
Yes, we weight those suggestions more heavily. So,
I mean, you know.
Right. Marie says, kinda. That's true. Yeah.
She's nodding fiercely.
I am nodding on the podcast, which is great for radio. Yep,
yeah. Yeah. It really does matter, though, interestingly, for business owners. You're like, when people say they would pay, except for this one thing.
If it's only. Like,
if only. I would take that with 1,000 grains of salt, because I found that to be highly untrue in my
Over experience. Time, we've seen that that's not really the case.
user that re-ups over and over, they're already your loyal customer. Keep them happy. You don't want them churning out. Those suggestions matter more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Seven, six, zero, three, one, eight.